I want to read from Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. There's two paths you can walk. I said last week, I felt like there was two rivers. I feel like there's two paths. As you look through Scripture, there's two paths. There's the path of the wicked, and there's the path of the righteous. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. It's an easy path to take. It's a highway. It's a wide road, the Bible tells us. But there's a narrow road. There's a difficult road. There's a less traveled road. That's what he's calling you to. Which path are you on today? Are you avoiding it, or are you just riding it? Because it's easy and everybody else is going that way. For they do not sleep, those who walk this path. They do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. You ever notice the later you stay up, the more likely you are to fall into something you should not have gotten into? When everyone else in your home has gone to bed, the later you stay up, what's the devil want to do? He wants to get you alone, right? When you're alone, it's an easy attack. You're susceptible. Some of you husbands, some of you, your wife, she's tired. She goes to bed at 9, and you're like, oh, I'm not built that way. I'm still kind of wired. I've been working hard. I gotta decompress a little bit. I gotta stay up. I gotta watch something. And I just gotta relax for a little bit. But what started as relaxing begins to take you down a different path. And all of a sudden, there you are alone on a Thursday or a Friday, and you start to say, well, I'll open up my phone for a second and I'll just scroll. They do not sleep unless they have done evil. Get off that path. Your wife goes to bed at 9. You better learn to start going to bed earlier. Do it. It'll save your marriage. It'll save your family. Because guess what? Where two or more are gathered, he is there. It's a lot harder to fall onto the path of the wicked when she's right there next to you. Do you understand that, men? It's a lot harder to fall into the path of the wicked. Some of you, you're just like, oh, I just slipped up this week. I just kind of messed up. That's what we say, right? I slipped. There's an accident. I just kind of slipped. Make an intentional choice not to slip. Go to bed at 9 and just lay there. Get a Kindle. I don't know. Get a Kindle. Read the Bible. Pull out your phone. Start reading the Bible. Do something. Stop falling into the path of the wicked. Make a choice. It's intentional. The path you walk is intentional, but too many of us are just saying, oh, it's just a mistake, it's just an accident. And we just keep excusing it away and defending it and defending ourselves. Turn away from it and pass on. It's an intentional choice. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness. Who is Jesus? He's the bread of life. What did he say during the Last Supper? Eat my flesh. When you eat the flesh, what are you eating? You're eating the bread. What are you doing? You're consuming. What bread are you consuming? Are you consuming the bread of wickedness, or are you consuming the bread of life? When you go to bed, eat the bread of life. End your day. And guess what? He'll ease you into sleep. You think, oh, I got to stay up till 10 or 11. My body can't fall asleep. All of a sudden, you start to read. And you'd be like, oof. You just feel a peace come upon you. You read a chapter, and all of a sudden you're just like, Lord, that was good. I'm full. I'm filled. The bread of wickedness does not fill. You just want more and more and more. And you keep eating and consuming the bread of this world. It's lust. It's desire. It's pornography. It's coveting. Women, this is for you. Some of you, you're going to bed and you're pulling out your phone and you're opening Instagram and you're looking at other people's lives and you're saying, oh, I want that. I want that. I want that house. I want that picture perfect life. I want that dress. I want those clothes. Women, you're doing it too. You're lusting. You're coveting. It's really easy for women to be like, yeah, men got problems. They're looking at porn. You're looking at porn. You are. It's pornography. You're lusting after a life that you don't have, but you want and you desire, and you refuse to water the garden he's given you. You got a husband right there beside you who desires you, but doesn't know how to tell you. And he's just laying there, and he wants to be with you. He wants intimacy with you, and you want intimacy with the world, and you keep consuming the bread of wickedness. Husbands and wives, you keep consuming the bread that does not satisfy. Look to the Lord and then look to each other. Water the garden that you've been given. Tend to the house that he's blessed you with. Steward it well. Steward it wisely. Stop eating the bread of wickedness because it will not fill you up. It will leave you hungry for more and more, and it will lead you down the path of the wicked into evil desires, into desires that will never satisfy. That's what they do. You want more and more. The more you look, the more you crave. Stop eating that bread. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. They do not know. Some of you, you've been stumbling in the dark. I just told you. I just shed a little bit of light on it for you. I don't know why I keep messing up. I don't know why I keep slipping up. There's a couple things you can change right there. It might be your phone. It might start with your phone. I don't know why I keep messing up. Delete Instagram. Delete Facebook. You're like, how am I going to stay in contact with everybody? Text them. Call them. Get a real phone number. Get a dial-up phone. Get one of those rotary phones. It'll change your life. It'll set you free. I don't know why I keep stumbling. Because you're distracted. That's what the devil wants to do. How does he destroy you? He distracts you. That's it. If he can get you distracted, he can destroy you. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy the destiny that God has for your life. God wants to build something great out of your life. The devil wants to destroy it. They are at odds. They are fighting against each other. Who are you listening to? What path are you walking? You just got light right there. I felt it. Somebody got revelation. Somebody got revelation in this room. Even if it was just one person, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One person got revelation and said, oh, that's all I got to do? Delete an app? And some of you are like, oh, that's too big of a sacrifice. You're like the rich young ruler right now. We read about the rich young ruler, and we're like, how could he not get it? How could he not see? He wouldn't give up his money to follow Jesus. That's all Jesus said. Just give it all up and follow me. You won't even give up an app. You won't even give up Instagram. You won't even give up Facebook. And you keep consuming. You keep eating the bread of wickedness. Go on a diet today. Delete it for one day. See how your life changes. Delete it for one day. Go to bed at 9 o'clock for one day. See how your life changes. You're going to get set free. You're going to get delivered. In a moment, he will set you free. He's doing it right now. Somebody got set free in the name of Jesus. That's what he does. Some people that want to get free today. You're going to get it. Everyone pull out your phone right now. You got a phone? Pull it out. Everyone pull out your phone. Everyone pull it out. This is for everyone because there's some people in here that feel like the Lord is telling them, I need to do this right now, but I don't want somebody to see me on my phone like doing this and know like, oh, he's been walking in wickedness. All right. You feel like that's what the devil's trying to do. The devil's trying to shame you. The devil's trying to shame you right now. So everybody, maybe you don't even have any apps on your phone. Maybe you're kind of an old guy and you're like, well, I just use it to call people. That's all right. Praise the Lord. But just pretend right now. Pretend right now like, Yeah, the Lord is telling me I need to delete. So everybody just delete it. Delete it right now. Delete it. Whatever that app is, whatever those apps are, just delete it. And if it ain't you, you just kind of sit there. And for the sake of your brother, for the sake of your sister, you just act like you're deleting something. But really, you're opening up the Bible app and you're reading the word right now. Praise the Lord. You want something to do? Open up the Bible app. Consume that. Eat it. Yeah, praise the Lord. People getting free today. You did something. You took a step today. A step of obedience in the natural will shift your life in the spiritual. And it's going to take you closer into the destiny that God has for you. Praise God. Praise God. There we go. Praise God. Praise God. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Come on. They do not know what makes them stumble. Some of you, you just figured it out. That's what was making me stumble. Some of you, you just deleted it right now. The light is coming in. The light is getting brighter within you. My son, give attention to my words. Give attention to my words. What have you been giving your attention to? You've been giving it to that app. You've been giving it to that show. You've been giving it to that movie. You've been giving it to the whoever, whatever. It's a choice what you will give your attention to. You may not always feel like it, but it's a discipline. So some days you just choose to say, I'm going to open it up and I'm just going to start reading and I'm just going to start consuming. What are you doing? You're eating the flesh. You're eating the bread of life. When you start to read it, you're consuming. You're like, oh, I thought you could only consume with your mouth. I thought consuming is what you eat. No, it's what you see. It's what you speak. It's what you hear. What are you consuming for your soul, for your spirit, man? What are you consuming? Eat the bread of life, not the bread of wickedness. Give attention to my words. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Incline. Lean in this season. Lean in. Incline. Somebody's speaking softly. Somebody's speaking quietly. You got one of those people in your life and you just, what do you got to do to hear them? You got to lean in. The Lord is speaking right now. Will you incline your ear to Him? Will you lean in and say, yes, Lord, your servant's listening. Lean in close to hear His voice. When my little son, who is 5, is trying to say something and we're in a big crowd and the room is full and there's people talking, what do I have to do to hear His voice over the noise? I have to lean in. I have to incline my ear. It's an intentional choice. Will you incline your ear today to the Lord? Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Don't let His word depart from your eyes. When you wake up in the morning, pick it up. Read it. Get it in front of your eyes right off the bat. When you go to bed at night, pick it up. Read it. Get it right in front of your eyes. Right at the end of your day, consume it. Consume it at lunch. Consume it at breakfast. Consume it at dinner. Consume it. Eat the bread. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Some of you, you're sick today. Some of you, you're sick today. Your body is not well. Your body is not working the way that the Lord intended it to work. And some people have told you, oh, that's just part of life. That's just part of the curse. Every curse is broken in the name of Jesus. And I believe today that there is something that you came in with that He doesn't want you to leave with. And so if you would just make a declaration today to say, Lord, I'm going to read your word and I believe it's going to be health to my flesh. Would you just say that today? Would you just say that? Say, Lord, I'm going to read your word today and I believe healing will come. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal you today in the name of Jesus. His words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Do you got good issues in your life or do you got bad issues? What have you been doing with your heart? Have you been keeping it with all diligence? I told you last week, I felt convicted by the Lord when we moved into this new house to begin to tend to my lawn, to care for my lawn, to make my lawn the best lawn on the block. Is it there yet? Nah, there's some old guys that they've been doing it longer than I have. They know how to keep a good lawn. but I'm learning. I've become more diligent in that area of my life. I've become more diligent in this area of my life to tend to the lawn of my heart, to take care of it, to water it, to feed it what it needs. Steward. Steward your heart. Steward your life. Because right now, some of you, you're like, oh, I got all these issues coming up. I got conflict over here, and I got relationship problems, and I got finance problems. Eat the word, and all of a sudden, you'll get the wisdom you need to step right out of those areas. Every struggle, every conflict, every relationship issue, I want to challenge you today. It's because you've been walking in disobedience to the word of the Lord and what he says. Some of you, you're like, you don't understand the relationship issues I have. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. Actually, you don't even need to tell me about it, because I'll tell you why you have issues. Because you've been sleeping with this girl. You've been sleeping with this boy outside of the covenant of marriage. Well, that's not it. That's it. That's it. Because the Lord will bless you inside the covenant of marriage. You can either walk in the blessing or you can walk in the curse. It's a choice. Every decision you make, out of it spring the issues of life. Are there difficult issues right now in your life? Are there things happening that you feel like, oh, bad things just happen? Bad things just happen. No. Some things happen and they're a result of our sin and our disobedience. But God wants to bless you, not curse you. He wants to bless you today, not curse you. It's a choice to step back into obedience. When you invite the Holy Spirit in and say, Lord, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. And you begin to open up the word. He's a good teacher. He's going to show you things. He's going to highlight things to you. Hosea 4:6 says this. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priest for me. You're called to be a royal priesthood, but you keep rejecting the knowledge that will equip you for the priesthood. And you keep consuming the wisdom and the knowledge of this world, which is foolish, and it does not last. It is perishing. It is temporary, not eternal. Because you've forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. It doesn't just affect you, it affects your children, which will affect your children's children from generation to generation. My people perish for lack of knowledge. No more. Just say that. Declare that over your life. Never again. Just say it. Go ahead. Say it, church. Never again. Never again. I'm going to eat your word, Lord. Yeah. I don't have my watch on. You guys have been up here a while. Here, let me pray so you guys can go get a little break. And then you come back and we're going to finish. And we're going to finish strong. Lord Jesus, thank you for this worship team that loves you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Lord Jesus, thank you for just the blessing they are to this house. Lord Jesus, just thank you for just for the child that Pastor Eleni carries. Lord, that child will grow up in a home that loves your word. There will be no lack of the bread of life in that home, because that child is being raised by a mother and father that love to eat of your word. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, may every family declare from this moment on, as we go forward into this new season, that there will not be a lack of bread in their homes, that they will eat and consume your bread and not the bread of wickedness all the days of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give them a hand? Would you give them a hand? Not for who they are, but because of how they steward so well his presence, using the gifts that God has given them. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. What's your mouth like? Is it deceiving? Are you lying? Are you justifying the lies? Are your lips perverse? Do they speak of the things of the Lord? Do they worship the Lord, or do they speak of the things of the world? Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. He wants to establish you in this next season. Some of you feel like the ground has been a little unshaky. The season of life that you've been in, it hasn't felt solid. He wants to establish you. When you walk on the word, you walk on a firm foundation. And so as you begin to consume the word in this next season, make a choice, especially here you go for husbands and wives, make a choice to consume it together. And so all of a sudden, some of those problems and some of those issues that you've been facing, that you've been going through, all of a sudden, things aren't going to feel so shaky anymore because you're building your foundation together on a firm rock. It's not on the sand of this world. The sand of this world, it changes all the time. It's based on feelings and emotions and what's popular. This is okay now. This isn't okay now. You get canceled for this. You don't get canceled for this. That's the world, right? You can see it in the world. The world's always changing. It's always shifting. And what is the devil always trying to do? It's trying to shift the standard to a darker and darker place that goes further and further from the light of God's word. You can see it. But I'm telling you right now, there's a shift in our culture, and we're moving back to the light. But it starts with God's people, and it starts so small. It starts with a man and a woman. It starts with you right now as an individual. Revival is built small, but it turns into a great fire. It's built small, but it turns into a great fire. There is a fire of revival that is being stewarded in this house right now, and it starts with the Word of God. There is no revival without the Word. This house was born out of the Word. It was born out of a dark moment in a shaky season when I did not know what the Lord had for me next. And I was checking every door, and I didn't know where to go. But the one door that I finally found answers was when I opened up His Word, and He led me to Ezekiel 37. And it said, "Son of man, can these bones live again?" And what's Ezekiel say? He says, "Lord, you know. Lord, you know." And He said, "Prophesy to the bone." And what did Ezekiel do? He began to prophesy. He began to speak life to the bones. The word brings life even to the dry bones. And in an instant, He showed me the door to walk through in this next season. He said, revival begins small, and it begins with the word. What are you speaking? Will you speak life even when everyone else sees death, even when everyone else sees dry bones in a valley? I said, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it." And I just began to speak life. And I just want to encourage some of you today. You're in a season of death. You're in a season of dry bones. You're in a season of discouragement. I want to tell you, the bones can move again. He can raise the bones back again. He can resurrect what you thought was dead. He's the God of resurrection. And so for some of you, He's doing that right now. For some of you, He's doing it in a marriage. Some of you, He's doing it in a relationship. Some of you, He's doing it in your body where there's sickness and it feels like there's death and that death has won. No. You're still living. You're still breathing. You're in this room. Death has not won. Death has not won yet. I'm telling you, He can move and live through you. Will you invite Him in? Because the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead wants to dwell within you today. Will you invite Him in? Say, "Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Fill me up. I want that, Lord. I want to be new again. I want to be raised new." Praise the Lord. Ponder the path of your feet. What have you been standing on? Have you been standing on the wisdom of the world or the wisdom of His word? And let all your ways be established. If you are sick of shaky ground where you feel like you are never established, open up the word today. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Remove it from evil. Proverbs 31. I keep feeling like people are coming into a new season. Proverbs 31. These are the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. "What, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. There are ways which will destroy kings. The path of the wicked. There are ways that the devil wants you to walk in that will destroy you. It will destroy kings. Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink. It's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. I told you last week, if you're stepping into a new season, there's a new standard. And some of you are like, well, it doesn't say, there's no commandment that says, you know, don't drink. That's not in the Ten Commandments. You're right. Religion would say, oh, you got to do this, this, and this. You don't have to do any of this. But if you want to step into this new season, there's a new standard. If you want to step into this calling that he has on your life that is greater than the previous calling, the calling you've been walking in, then there's a new standard you have to step into. And so maybe you've been kind of holding on to drink. Maybe you've kind of been holding on to wine. Maybe you've kind of been holding on to that. And you're like, oh, it just kind of helps me. It just kind of helps me unwind at night. Maybe the Holy Spirit wants you to unwind with him at night. I just want to invite you in to this new season and this new standard. I don't know who this is for, but I feel like this is for somebody. That you know that there's a greater calling on your life, and I want to encourage you. That might mean that there's a greater sacrifice, something that you're stepping out of from that old season. But the devil, what's he want to do? He wants you to hold on to it. He wants you to embrace it. He wants you to say, oh, you can't live without this. You need it. It's how you've always coped. It's how you've always dealt with things. No, no, no. It doesn't have to, just because it was like that before doesn't mean it has to be like that again. You can step into a new season. Don't keep trying to hold on to the comforts of the old season. There's a comfort in the cave. There's a comfort in the slavery. There's a comfort in what we knew before because it was the only way we knew how to deal and cope with the pain, with the trauma, with the hurt. That's what some of you, that's how you're justifying it right now. You don't know. You don't know what I go through. You don't know what I see every day. I work in the ER. I'm a doctor. I work with kids. And I need some way to deal with this. I need some way to cope with this. You don't know what happened to me as a kid. You don't know what happened to me as a child. You don't know what happened to me in my previous marriage. You don't understand. This helps me. This helps me deal with it. The Holy Spirit wants to help you. If you'll invite him in, he will help you and he will heal you. That's what he wants to do in this next season. That might have got you through the previous season, but for this new season, this next season, there's a new healing that he wants to introduce to you. It's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. That makes me think of that Proverbs again. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Some of you, you keep stumbling and you're like, why do I keep messing up? Why do I keep messing up? It's the drink before the stumble. It's the drink. It's the wine. It's the liquor. It's the beer. You're like, oh, I don't know why I keep falling. Because you've leaned on intoxicating drink for so long as a comfort and as a crutch. But it impairs your decision. It makes you forget the word of the Lord. And you keep falling into the same old trap that the devil keeps setting for you. And for the devil, he just keeps looking at you and saying, you make it too easy. Don't make it easy in this new season. It's not going to be easy for him in this new season. He's going to have to come up with new schemes and new ways to try to trip you up because the old ways aren't going to work on you in this new season. Do you understand that? If you'll put the wine and you'll put the drink behind you and step into this new season, I'm not telling you, this isn't religion. You're saved. You're saved by grace. He's already done it. The work's been done on the cross. No, no, no. This is a new standard for you to step into a new calling. If you want it, it's yours. If you don't want it, if you want to keep doing it the same way, keep doing it. But you're going to miss out on the destiny he has for you. I don't want you to miss out on that. I don't want you to miss out on it. Some of you, you're called to be a father in this next season. There's new dads rising up in this house. I see you, new dads. I see you. There's a new standard. When you become a father, there's a new standard of stewardship. There's a new standard of leadership in the home, and you're going to step into it, and you're going to do it, and you're going to do it so well because the Holy Spirit lives within you. I believe that for you. There's new moms stepping into this new season. And I, oh my goodness, all these moms out here, and they got their sweatshirts and their funny, you know, little lingo, like, oh, I just need a drink of wine, you know? Like, they're always posting on Facebook, like, oh great, glass of wine to end the day. I'm sorry, some of you feel really attacked right now, all right? I love you. I love you. In the name of Jesus, I love you. But I want you to know you're called to something higher. You don't need that crutch anymore. We keep coming back to this. 1 Samuel, the people that were brought to David, they were in distress, they were discontent, and they were in debt, but they did not stay that way. They came and met him in the cave, but in that cave season, the Lord met them. Why? Because they got near the anointing. David was anointed to be the next king of Israel. The anointing changes everything. One man gets it. One man gets it. The anointing will change everything in your life. If you'll get near the anointing, the oil breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke of slavery. Two people get it. Two people get it. Come on. Let's go. That's all right. It's just like last week. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You're going to get the revelation. I believe it in the name of Jesus. Some of you, you're getting it. Moms that felt attacked right there with the wine and the drink and the funny lingo. And you know what I'm talking about, right? Like you get on Facebook and there's this mom wearing a funny shirt. Like, oh, this wine gets me through my kids' lives. I don't know. The Lord doesn't want you just to survive. He wants you to thrive. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us right now, please. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. I got so focused on the bread that I forgot. What's it say in Proverbs? There's a wine of violence. Some of you are like, why do I keep lashing out at my kids? Some of you moms, why do I keep lashing out? Why do I keep lashing out? Why do I keep doing this? Because you keep relying on the wine and not the wine maker. Just let him do that right there. He's doing it. You got the revelation already. I don't need to say another thing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Not to shame you or condemn you. It's just to call you up to a higher place. I could have kept doing the same things I was doing. And I could have kept leading this church the same way I led in my previous ministry. And I could have kept doing it. And he kept showing me there's something better. There's something more. It's the Holy Spirit. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I would challenge you today. Receive it. The apostles, everywhere they went, they taught on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It matters. Be born of water and spirit, Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3. Some of you, you've been born again in the water. You've received, you've been born, the baptism of repentance. You've repented of your sins. And you're like, I did it. I got born again. But why do I keep going back to the same thing over and over? It's because you haven't been born of spirit. Get born of spirit today. Get born in the spirit today. Well, it comes, Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. If you'll invite him in today and say, Lord, I want to get baptized in your Holy Spirit. I want to receive. Some of you, you've received it before, but you're just dried up today. You're like a corn husk on a hot summer day, and you're dried up. And guess what? He wants to fill you up afresh again. You can receive afresh again. We see that in the book of Acts. There's more and more to experience. There's more to receive. Don't miss it today. When our ministry team is up here, come and ask to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you'll begin to pray in new tongues. And you're like, why? Why do I need that? Because what's the praying of tongues do? It builds you up. It edifies you. It strengthens your spirit, man. And some of you, you will look back someday and be like, that was it. That was the moment. That was the difference. When I stopped going back like a dog to the vomit, to the same old sin, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, it was when I got baptized in the Spirit that changed my life. Jesus loves you. He wants more for you. He's calling you higher in this next season. Okay, worship team. I gave you about 15 minutes. Every new season brings a new battle. There is a fight against God's people to keep them from walking in their destiny, to keep them from walking in dominion. Do you realize that? You were created to walk through this life in dominion. All the way back in the garden, Genesis 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have, dominion. Dominion. I think we need just more than one. Everybody now. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. In Romans, Paul calls out the Romans and he says, you've been worshiping these false gods, these demons that are made in the image of, and once you start listing out, animals, birds, every living thing. That was what the idols were in the shape of. And you are worshiping what God created you to live in dominion over. You've been living under the demonic. He's told you, no. You're seated in heavenly places. You're seated at the right hand with Jesus. You're seated with him in the heavenly places. You were created to walk in dominion over them. Don't walk under what you were created to walk over. That's spiritual authority. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're called to higher places. Some of you, when I read that passage about the kings, you're like, well, I'm not a king. No, but you're a prince. You're a princess. You're a son and daughter of the king. You're created for something more. You're created for something higher. In this next season, in this new season, understand that. The devil is coming to try and attack and take what God has given you. All throughout Scripture, when God's people are freed, you see this. You see this temptation and this longing. You see it in the Israelites when they're freed from Egypt. You see this temptation to go back to Egypt. And they begin to complain, it says in Numbers. And they begin to say, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. They were discontent. They remember all the food they ate, but they forget the chains they lived in. As you're getting ready to step into this new season, there's a temptation from the devil to get you to say, wouldn't you rather go back? I don't know if I want to step into this new season, Lord. That's the temptation right now. It's a little scary. It's a little frightening. And you're not sure you want to step into what he's got for you. You know he's given you a word. You know he's called you to it. You know what he has already said and declared over your life. But there's this fear. And it's rising up in this in-between season before you step into this new season. And the devil is trying to get you to say, just go back. Look, you ate good in that season. I took care of you in that season. But he doesn't remind you about the chains you lived in. The chains that the Lord delivered you from. He's delivered you. Don't go back. There's comfort. There's comfort in the cave. There's comfort in slavery. Because in the cave and in slavery, you're a victim. Somebody wronged you. Somebody did this to you. Somebody hurt you. Somebody abused you. Somebody puts you here in this place. It's not your fault. It's theirs. But he's called you out of being a victim and into being a victor. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let him heal you today. Let him heal you today. Thank you, Jesus. Jacob lived 20 years under the leadership of Laban. He worked 14 of those for his two wives, Rachel and Leah. In Genesis 30, verse 25, it says this, "It came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, 'Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country.'" He knew he was being called into a new season. "Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you." And Laban said to him, "Please stay, if I found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." Then he said, "Name me your wages and I will give it." So Jacob said to him, "You know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now when shall I also provide for my own house?" There's a blessing. There's a blessing on the Lord's anointed. And there's some of you, you're stepping out of an old season and moving into a new season. And there are people around you that are begging you to stay. They're begging you not to move on. Because they know they've been blessed because of you. They don't understand that it's because of the anointing. It's the Holy Spirit. It is God in you. And so they're desperately clinging to you, trying to get you to stay in this place, but you've been called out of this place. You've been called into a new season. That's for somebody in here. You feel like, "Oh, I got to stay. It's for them. I got to stay. I can't go on. I can't move on. They need me here." No, the Lord needs you to step into your destiny. The Lord needs you to step into this next season. You did what you needed to in that season. It's time to step forward. Genesis 31. Jacob, he's gone on the run. He's taken his family, his wives, his children, his livestock. He's gone on the run from Laban. And Laban catches up to him here in Genesis 31. It says, "Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, 'What is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? Set it here before my brethren and your brethren that they may judge between us both. These 20 years I've been with you, your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young.'" There was no curse because of the anointing that was on Jacob. "And I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn by beasts I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it." He handled things with integrity. "You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was. In the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes." You're coming out of a season of suffering. You've been faithful. You've served in this season. It was difficult. It was hard. But he's bringing you into a new season. Thus, I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Some of you, you've been wronged over and over again. You've been mistreated in this past season. God is bringing you into a new season. Don't go back. Where they mistreated you, God is going to, he's going to give you back double. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. The Lord had given him a word that you will not say anything bad or good to Jacob. Genesis 31, verse 44. Now therefore, come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me. So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. Then Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and they made a heap. And they ate there on the heap. Laban called it Jagar Sahudatha. But Jacob called it Galeed. Which, by the way, it doesn't matter what your enemies say. It doesn't matter what they call it. You call it what the Lord has called you to call it. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me this day. Therefore, its name was called Galeed, also Mizpah, because he said, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent from one another. If you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives besides my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is witness between you and me. Then Laban said to Jacob, here is the heap and here is this pillar which I have placed between you and me. There's a crossing over right here. There's a moment. This heap is a witness and this pillar is a witness that I will not pass beyond this heap to you. And you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their father judge between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Grab a stone today. Make a heap today. Make a pillar today and say, I'm not going back to that old season. Just say it. Just say it today. I'm not going back to that old season. The Lord is calling you today to make a pillar, to make a monument, to step into a covenant and say, no, 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 I'm not going back. I'm only going forward in what he's called me and created me for. There's a temptation when fear creeps in to just stay in that old season. But the Lord is calling you to never go back, to keep moving forward into everything he's called you to, even if you go limping into the next season. Do you know the story of Jacob? Not long after that, it says he wrestles with the Lord all night. And the Lord touched him on the hip socket. And from that moment on, he had a limp the rest of his life. And you might feel like you're limping into this next season, into this new season. And you're struggling, and it's a fight, and it's been a battle, and it's been a wrestle. But even if you're limping, you're not going back. Limp forward into this new season. Make a covenant with the Lord today that you won't go back. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. Lord Jesus, I pray for anyone that you're working on right now in their heart, that you would just speak clearly to them. Lord, I pray that you would kill the desire within us to go back to the previous season, to go back to the old life. I pray that you would kill it today within us, that we would no longer have a taste for it, that we'd no longer have a hunger for it. The same things that tripped us up, the same things that we walked in darkness and hungered for before, that we would look at it and we would hate it. We would be disgusted by it. We would run from it. We would flee from it. And we'd walk into this new season with our eyes lifted forward, even if we're limping, Lord. Even if we're limping, we know that it's better to limp and walk with you than to run and go back to that old life. And so, Jesus, I pray that we would walk and run and not grow weary into this new season that you've called us to. And all God's people said, amen. Would you stand up as we worship? Let's worship him. If you need prayer, come forward. Don't miss out on this moment. Make a covenant with him. Step into the new season.